shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
In this hour in which we live, with the mighty challenges which are before us, I think it most significant and important that we know what we are here for, who we are, where we're going. Probably the most important thing in the world for the accomplishment of any historical fact is to know where you're going. Some people are always worried about what the masses think. The most important thing is, does leadership know where it's going? I point out to you that God has a blueprint and a plan, and because we believe God, we believe this plan will come to pass. I point out to you that we are a great nation of God's kingdom. We are the mighty nation of the outstretched wings of the eagle that God's raised up for a prophetic destiny, and we're going to fulfill that destiny irrespective of what God has to eliminate to see we do it. We point out to you in this instance what our objectives are. These are the objectives of the kingdom. Someone said the other day, what is it that the Christian church really teaches? What do you believe? What is it that you have as an objective? Well, that no one be in darkness on this matter, let me tell you what it is. It is to see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, over which He shall reign forever and ever, till every knee shall bow and every tongue shall proclaim that Christ is God, and until every man of every race recognizes that this white race and its Christian nations are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Someone said that's white supremacy. You better believe it's white supremacy. The other day, I listened to one of these BB brain clergymen trying to tell the world that the thing that we must face today, the most dangerous trend in our time, is the rise of racism. Well, it depends on what you call racism. The kind of racism I see coming out of Washington, D.C. is a very deadly thing. It would mongrelize, integrate, and destroy your race. The President of the United States had the audacity to tell the press the other day that we must mix socially, racially, ethnically, and geographically. This means the total destruction from nation to race to even the divine edicts of God and His law. Now I'm going to tell the President of the United States in these words that we shall not mix ethnically, geographically, racially, nor socially, because God hath willed that we are not, and the power of heaven will see that this shall not be. I point out to you that your race are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're begotten of His Spirit before the world was framed, have been begotten the flesh of the Adamic household since the world was framed, which Adam was the son of God, according to the last verse of the third chapter of the book of Mark. In the book of Luke, where it talks about the genealogy of Christ, it traces Him back to Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. A divine race with a divine destiny, a spiritual seed, which God not only promised to restore, whose spiritual consciousness He promised to renew, which race He promised to elevate for administration over the earth to defeat Lucifer, who rebelled because he wouldn't acknowledge that you were the sons and daughters of God. He said, I'll not show it. But the purpose of the Most High God is to bring in His kingdom. You are the best and most important part of God's program, and that was the establishing of His sons from heaven to earth, occupying the physical world to build His kingdom, to grow and expand, to build nations, to overthrow the darkness, to liberate the world. And in the pattern of your fall, which He also prophesied before the foundation of the world, when He wrote your names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, the Eternal Father said, I will become embodied in the earth. I'll redeem you. I'll justify you, for I predestinated you're going to conform to My image. Now to the majesty of such a proclamation, as Paul said, God became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the mystery of godliness. I point out to you that you who can say our Father which art in heaven are His kinsmen. Then again, that great mystery in the second chapter of Hebrews, He had not taken upon Himself a strange form, but took upon Himself a body of flesh that He might be like His kinsmen, because now the children of God were in bodies of flesh. I challenge you to realize that we have a program that's not acceptable to any part of Satan's kingdom. This is a program which God ordained from the beginning that's not acceptable to any politician that takes his orders from the world order. This program is the utter subjection of all the world, not to autocracy, but to theocracy. I point out to you that within this such a pattern, that God has a program of absolute victory. Of course, whenever there is authority, and it's on the Christian side, it's always eschewed as antisocial, not democratic, and must be cast out. But whenever it's satanic dictatorship, strange how these apologizers want to acquiesce and find coexistent policies with it. The world today is moving under a strange trend. It's a trend of dictatorship. Strange dictatorship first raising its ugly head and spawned in the Red Revolution. The first challenging power of dictatorship came with the Antichrist dictatorship that warred on the church. That was packed with the administration of Jewry from Das Kapital out of Karl Marx to the conspiratorial level of their control tonight. These satanic and evil forces that moved out of the Red Empire spread out over the earth to form red dictatorships anywhere. Whenever a man rose to power by the challenging conditions inside of his nation and had to establish in order to fight these red roads of conspiracy, an authoritarian government to a degree, though granting many times more freedom to his people than they'd had for centuries because of the evil, then this was called dictatorship too. And how the world eschewed dictatorship. When Mussolini rose to break the power of Jewry inside of Italy, my, how they denounced him. They even had preachers saying this was the Antichrist. When Hitler rose inside of Germany, he was a byproduct of communist revolution, satanic Jew conspiracy, and a people that raised up behind this man to defend themselves. You have heard how dictatorships are challenged. And we in this country have been raised under a system of representative government, a great republic, not a democracy, a house of God, and a great nation of time. But I tell you, in all this course of time, we were told by propagandists we must hate every dictatorship that rose, and then we had to accept that everything was a dictatorship they said was a dictatorship. Now, I point out that we have one basic responsibility, and that's to resist and prepare to destroy every anti-Christian power that rises in the world. When we get in wars, we have only one thing to do, and that's win them. But it's a sad thing when we get in wars with our own race and our own people and fight the area that doesn't fight the church. With world communism, we have a continual battle from the very beginning. From its earliest inception, it was the power of darkness born by the sons of Satan with a design to destroy the civilization and culture of which we were a part. It was designed by conspiracy at every educational level, in every area of communications, to try to give a guilt complex to the people of God's kingdom, to try to order their thinking until they would mutate their society, until they would integrate their nation, until they would fuse their bloods, until they would surrender their liberties. All this is within the pattern of prophecy because the dragon, with the spawn of his own seed, has been seeking this operation. If you turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, where it talks about this great nation which is given the great wings of an eagle, why? Because the dragon is casting out the seed of the dragon like waters of a flood to try to swallow you up. These unassimilatable dragon seed make your trouble. This nation has too many of them advising the President of the United States, and of course he's not too bright, and the result is that we're in trouble. When we say the kingdoms of this world are to become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ, this blueprint overthrows all witch doctors, all superstition, all heathen, all pagan temples. I don't blame the enemy for being against us, and their being against us doesn't in any way persuade me that we should change the course. When we look at communist dictatorships rising, expanding, watch the steady march that communism has made since the end of World War II, we can see the satanic strategy in which the enemies of Jesus Christ manipulated America into being an ally of communism and caused us to fight our own race to please international Jewry. Within the course of this same strategy, we started down this road of error when, under the deception of advisors and under the deception of the Soviet Union, Franklin Delano Roosevelt recognized the government of the Antichrist in officially recognizing the Soviet Union. And if we allowed him any dubious area of manipulation on the basis of what they promised, in the short 2 years that followed, they broke every covenant and every promise, and intelligent leadership would have repudiated Soviet Russia in its recognition and downgraded it as an outcast among all the nations of the free world. The pattern which we watch is increasing dictatorship. Consummation of World War II, we see the powers of Antichrist, the forces of darkness now over many nations that were once allies of Christian society, were Christian in their background. Romania and Hungary, Poland under the yoke of world communism, Slavic peoples of the house of Zebulon under the heel of the Antichrist, Issachar, Little Finland, a great nation of the house of Israel, and under the control of the Antichrist. One half of Judah, Germany, of the house to the eastward of the marching standards, and half of it under the control of the powers of Antichrist. And we see it stealthily reaching out for the nations of Europe. We see communist power rising inside of France. We see a challenge now to break up by their infiltration all of Italy. We see Simeon and Gad under threat. Though Simeon has been, who the Spanish people are identified as they are tonight, Simeon has been under Mr. Franco. Oh yes, terrible thing. He's a dictator. You know, the only reason why it's terrible is that he's authoritarian in that he has rules and regulations to protect Spain from both communism and Jews. And you can't tell me that if he was really hurting the peoples of Spain, that they'd leave him loose. I am well aware that Mr. Eisenhower did nothing to stop the execution of innocent German officers charged with the Katyn massacre when the facts of Secret Service proved they were guiltless and that all the Jew attorneys in the advocate branch of the service had framed the entire evidence as afterwards it was proven, for they had been sentenced on false and framed evidence. I am aware in carrying out these objectives that nothing was done to stop the rape of Stuttgart when Negroes in American uniforms were turned loose on German women. The hand of Antichrist with all of its evil was there. The absolute implacable hatred of the forces of communism and Jewry and anti-Christianity against any area where they had been curbed in their free hand. Some say, well, we don't want to accept this. This could be propaganda. Let's take a look at America. Here as the rising hand of Antichrist and the sons of Lucifer gain more influence until their numbers as advisors were too many around presidents, until their influence in the international areas of economy, which had been working for 300 or more years, now demonstrated their vast manipulation and their power. It was quite obvious that in this country, their influence for the selection of advisors and the appointments of power were most obvious. The sealing of the border. I suppose then we'll unleash them, the launching ramps, to zero in their missiles upon our cities. In the instance of this hour, we have found not one successful maneuver carried out to completion to defeat communism. When under the magnificent leadership of General Douglas MacArthur, we had Red Chinese and communists on the run inside of Korea. When we could have had a permanent victory there and then moved with Kai-shek for the liberation of China, we had little men in the White House that removed great generals because they couldn't stand up to the pressure of victory and because the powers of darkness whispered in their ears. I point out to you that we have not won one great basic victory that has been carried out under the execution of our armed forces because the mystery of darkness would not let us. But I point out that the thing that is most startling is this trend towards dictatorship, the dictatorship of the Antichrist, the dictatorship who follows the policies of Karl Marx and goes the way of the enemy. I can read these words in the book of Revelation, in which it makes it very clear concerning this satanic conspiracy and this power. It tells me, as concerning this power, that one of the processes that we see are these hordes of the darkness that have the symbol of the leopard. This is the 13th chapter of Revelation, the second verse. It says that I saw it was like unto the leopard, his feet were like the feet of the bear, his mouth like the mouth of the lion. The dragon gave him his power, his seat, and his great authority. He says, what is that? This is the sum total of all the pagan, non-white race kingdoms that raise up to fight the kingdom of God out of Daniel and Revelation. And Satan gave him his power. And it says, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was now healed, and the world wondered after the beast. This is what Jesus refers to as the seventh threat to Christian world and to his kingdom, and then it diminishes, and the eighth comes out of the seventh, its deadly wound having been healed. When world Jewry gathered the hordes of Genghis Khan and took this ignorant Mongol raider and developed and guided him with Shui Pei Noyan, a Chinese Jewish advisor, and they gathered 40 more of the clans of the desert, and they went out and opened the doors of Baghdad and Samarkand and the cities of Asia with their Jewish traders opening the doors to let them in at night until the city fell before they knew they were invaded. The resulting pattern was that this horde of world communism, or at that time the hordes of the Genghis Khan peoples, were then hurled against Christian Europe. Where here the great Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic peoples live. where the great house of God's kingdom, the Adamic race at its height and purity, the peoples of Israel were residing. Jewry hated this because they were the false contender. They were the abomination of the desolator. They wanted its destruction. They wanted to share with their Asiatic minions the spoil of Europe. The hordes of Genghis Khan came, the seventh threat to your race. From Egypt to Assyria to Babylon to Medo-Persia, Greece and Rome, great powers came. Christ listed these powers, but the seventh which came was the hordes of Genghis Khan. The eighth was to come out of the seventh. And this again is the sum total of these powers here described. The leopard, the bear, the lion, and the dragon gave him his power, satanic force. And I want you to know that the seed which comes out of the dragon's mouth like a flood to swallow you up is none other than the vast household of Lucifer and his many children. Jesus tells you who they are and said they were of their father the devil. They were the generation of the serpent and the viper. And here in the 12th chapter of Revelation tells me that Satan is that dragon, that old serpent, and his children, who some people think are the chosen people, are actually Satan's flood. In this declaration, then I saw his head, and I saw the one that was wounded as an eye unto death, and the deadly wound was healed. For the dragon had given him his power. Thus it was that with the philosophy of Karl Marx to politically unite these people with the financial power of the Kuhn-Loben companies, the Warburgs, the Jacob Schiff's, we saw Jewish Finn's finance come along, and the seed of the dragon built communism, gathered the same hordes of all these empires that were against the kingdom, and then started back to hurl them against Christian civilization to take over first the world. And I show you that it says that people worship the dragon that gave power to the beast. They worship Satan with their false religions and all that his like. He said, who is like the beast? Who's able to make war with him? I'll tell you who's able to make war with him. The white race of the sons of God. Say, it doesn't look like we're able to make war with him. Well, you've got to get Christians with intelligence and power. You've got to take every Jew out of power. You've got to retake America for Christ and for your Constitution. And then all you've got to do is slap down the devil. I read about the trend in this time of these rulers in Asia, puppet dictatorships, to rule their hour with a beast. There are many who say there isn't any real beast. But I want you to know that the political philosophies and satanic programs of many antichrists always find some to move into positions of power. Some say we take over all the world. No, but there are a lot of people that don't belong inside America that look and wonder after the beast. It was just an accident. The same kind of accident that Mrs. Roosevelt let out of the bag when she said Franklin was playing with his stamp collection, Harry Hopkins was at the piano, I was knitting, we were waiting for the news that Pearl Harbor had been bombed. That was her one mistake. That was on Vox Pop, We the People, that she made that statement broadcast. Yes, because the Morgenthau Gang wanted us in war, created the conditions for it, that they might destroy their enemies in Europe under the guise of a full declaration. And when we're in a war, we have to win it. And there is not one iota among patriotic and Christian Americans of disloyalty to our country, but there is a deep sense of sadness that Satan's evil power was permitted to intervene in our life, to throw Christian against Christian, when we should have joined with the Christian nations of Europe and the Anglo-Saxon Germanic people should have crushed communism and liberated the world. The stick, the house of Joseph, which of the Anglo-Saxon peoples, the great United States of America and the British Empire, and the great House of Judah, which is Germany and her Germanic allies of the House of Central Europe, are going to become one mighty stick in my hand. And when they get through clubbing communism, it's going to be a free world. Every once in a while, someone said, I think we should have a clear statement. What are the objectives? What do you believe in? What are you for? This is what we're for. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, suppose they don't want that, then we'll make them bow the knee. Now there's a lot of silly evangelists running around. They want to go over there and persuade these people to make a choice they don't have any spiritual capacity to make. They want to go over there and think that one great big evangelistic sweep through the country, whether it's a Billy Graham or some other one of these phonies of our time, it's not the answer. Because they come back and tell us how wonderful they were treated over there. And all the time, all they got is into a mockery show while Christians are suppressed and the design is its destruction. The trend of this world are the powers of darkness that will rule their hour with the beast. Someone said this is a terrifying picture. No, it isn't. Because we are not predicated in survival or strength upon the numbers of our enemies, or upon their world order, or upon their United Nations conspiracy, or upon their traps. Our destiny is utterly predicated upon the rock Christ Jesus, a kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and a victorious awakening of the sons and daughters of God as a great invisible empire of spirit challenges the people of this nation for victory. Now let me show you something. You have never in all time of history saw anything that was quite like what you face in America today. We have watched the portfolios of government being passed in the hands of President Roosevelt under the emergencies of fighting economic problems and depression, manipulated by the same international money changers that turned depressions on and off. And when they wanted to destroy Germany, all of a sudden the depression was all over. They turned loose this paper money. Prosperity was at work. War factories started to put out weapons. The Jews turned depressions on and off at will. From depression to every factory in motion, everybody employed, in a matter of 3 months' time when the Jews turned the money on. Say they'll have another depression. No, my friends, you'll never give America another depression because we know who did it. There's been a lot of scientific progress since World War II. There's a lot of more effective ways than were used in World War II to destroy evil. We have watched dictatorial power and special edicts as portfolios of government were passed in the hands of the presidents of the last few administrations. But never have we watched so bold a program advised by satanic designs to disarm America and to create dictatorship as has happened in your time. A utterly lawless government disavowing all areas of constitutional law, a government of liberty and freedom passing into a dictatorship while the people sleep. We called your attention to United States News 2 weeks ago. The words of the past president of the Bar Association, who made a very intelligent speech and statement. I want to quote to you what John C. Scatterfield, who was the past president last year of the Bar Association, said. Never in the history of nations governed by elected individuals has the head of any state demanded and created such naked, untrampled power as is woven in and embodied in the so-called Civil Rights Act, except when that state is upon the verge of becoming a dictatorship, unquote. And under this act, the power to establish and to take over automatically, just like that with dictatorship, is several titles. Absolute federal control of every local, state, and national election. Title two, regulate every private business and establishment in the United States. Number three, control by federal government, state and local governments in the educational field. Couple form desegregation of public schools in the South, complete elimination of racial imbalance in all schools. Title IV, establish a mediation agency at the taxpayer's expense to meddle in all local affairs of the community. Title V, extend the life of Civil Rights Commission. Title VI, invest horrendous powers in the president to withdraw all aid from every government program, including aid to the blind, the dependent children, to the sick or the aged. Title VII, establish a commission on unequal employment and confer virtually with unlimited powers, confer virtually unlimited powers upon the president. Now, there is being added to that the power to meddle in every phase of American life with signed decrees for the disarmament of American citizens in all local police departments, and then conferring the power to establish a police force that is separated from all branches of the armed services to take over. Then you have all of the sequence of the formation of dictatorship. Dictatorship that might be as seriously disastrous for you as Castro over Cuba or Castro over the United States. I want to point out to you that in this nation, from Executive Order 10-10995 to Executive Orders 11-10051, that the President of the United States has, by just dictatorial decree, given unto himself power to take over all communications, all electric power, petroleum, gas, fuels, minerals, take over all food resources and farms, method of transportation, highways, seaports, mobilization of civilians into workforces, move them out of their homes, destroy their homes, or integrate them or transfer them, take over health, welfare, and education. to control all areas of communication in the mails, register every person in the United States, take over all airports and aircraft, take over all housing and finance, take over all railroads and inland waterways, and then take over all economy, eliminate all dividend payments out of all areas of income from stocks and from bonds and from business. You want to know what this is? This is as totalitarian a dictatorship with even more power than Mr. Khrushchev has tonight. Say, what is it all about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's just that which precedes a mighty tumult over the mountains. The nations are in tumult. The nations are mountains of prophecy. And these states from the DARs and from the Veterans Organization of every right-wing patriotic group just decided to clean the Jews out and stand together. They save America in 30 days. The weakest part is one son of Satan inside the areas of opposition. All right, you have a dictatorial program all set up. Someone said, America looks like it's going that way. We're not always acquiescing. When I look at the Iowa tests, when I look at the depravity that takes place in schools, when I see the animal-like instincts of integrated Negroes and how now they function even in the Watts and the Compton schools in areas where they never were suppressed, suddenly they turn to the savage. They follow the Kenyatta policies. They reject all patterns of law, and they can't even establish moral standards in the schools. And the limp expression of education is that we're only here to instruct them. We can't affect their lives or suppress the little darlings. Let me tell you something. We don't want any part of Soviet education. We just want to ship all the Jews back to Russia. We have teaching in our schools now and let them enjoy their own kind of education. Someone said over there that we're making a lot of progress in education. I don't doubt it. When I look at those they've sent over here, if they have these people outside the country, they're bound to make progress. Someone said this is a great exchange program. We're going to send our students and our teachers and our instructors over to Russia. They're going to send theirs over here. We're all going to get along. That means our education will go down, theirs will go up. And I listen to some sad person worried about the fact that Americans play baseball and football and waste their time while they're in college. He said over in the Soviet Union, they don't waste any time on this. They're just working day and night. They have become just machines of science and mathematics. Well, maybe they became machines of mathematics and science. But my friends, they have to get a lot of know-how and assembly line technique, and they got to spy out our land, and they got to discover what our poor mutton-headed students that play football and baseball find out. Someone said we don't have it. My friends, all we don't have is that we don't give our students the benefit of what they could do if they were given good instruction. We don't want robots. We don't want machines. We don't want men without joy, without pleasure, without youth. But what we do want is a background of Christian intelligent Americanism. We don't want any other religion having any influence over our education. Someone said we must stand for equality of all religions. We must work out a program where all religions are allocated in our school or none. We must work out a plan where Christ and Christianity is restored to our schools, and if the others don't like it, then go back home. Your Christian Defense League, your CDL, has already started with its pressure. Great numbers of citizens notified have been calling Trillingham, and they've been calling Hahn, and they've been bringing pressure on their various offices. Unprecedented waves of pressure came on the Santa Monica school board, the supervisors, and though the Anti-Defamation League denied this, Satan's seed like a flood tried to stamp out recognition of Christ and Christmas in the city of Los Angeles and throughout all Los Angeles. The impact is just beginning. When we get through, we're going to make them sorry they ever put their finger on anything that touches the name of Christ. City of Santa Monica says we'll restore religious tracts and literature to our parks. They'll not stop them. We'll have Christian pageantry. We'll have the tableaus. We're going to sing carols there. In fact, Supervisor Hahn says we're going to keep on singing carols here. And even Mr. Trillingham's office is beginning to say that they're not going to let this thing be suppressed. Somebody said, yes, we're going to have a total observance, Christmas and a Hakana lights. When we get through, it's going to be Christmas and no Hakana lights. Someone says, how's this going to happen? Wait and see. It's time that Americans said not one particle of American income, not a cent, shall be spent in Jewish stores. This should make them happy. They wouldn't want to be touched by this filthy lucre out of the goyim's pocket, spent in their store for goods for a festivity they don't approve of. I'm sure they should be totally happy to sell Hakana gifts to their own kind. I want you to know that every Christian businessman in America would be tickled to death to have Christians spend all their money with him. And if this ever happens, and it should happen this year, Christians will become economically as strong as our adversary, and we'll throw the adversary out by creating United States banks interest-free, and we'll build a system they can't compete with. And someday, somewhere, somebody might read a newspaper on a far planet about the terrible gas ovens that were built in America. How they all died down here. You know, any time you cut off the power of Jew money, they're dead. All those that were burned up in the gas ovens of Europe were walking the streets of Los Angeles, New York, and down in Mexico City, Rio de Janeiro. They are the most active ghosts the world has ever seen. But not next time. See, if you didn't clap, they're a little worried about that. I'm going to tell you something about my father. My father's got a special squad just for this task. You said he has, yes, my father's got a special task. You say, who is your father? The eternal Yahweh. He's my father. Got a special squad for this task. And I'm going to tell you, my friends, no SS troops in the world are as effective as this special squad. They're just one segment of Michael's armies. And when they get through, there's not going to be one tear that they've missed. You're in a world of upheaval, of tumult, out of trouble. I think it's important, again, that you get the objective. The objective is the supremacy of God's kingdom. Of men with vision, with understanding, that have the technology, the know-how, the guidance to put the world into a proper balance. Of people that will establish civilization and culture, that will roll back all of the horses of darkness and of famine. Of the 3.5 billion people on the face of the earth tonight, half of them have never been fed properly. Did you know that? And in 1/5 of the world's population, the 1/6 where the Christian nations are, we've got so much food we don't know what to do with it. Our silly fools are trying to give it to the enemy. Someone said, this is unfair, it's not equal distribution. There's not supposed to be an equal distribution between the sons of God and devils. The devils aren't supposed to fare well in the kingdom of God. People have always been saying, why do the heathen prosper? They're not prospering so well. Somebody was the other day was telling me how he was persecuted, how he was suppressed. I says, in what area is your personal suppression? He says, look at the terrible taxation. Yes, I said, all you got to do is take back the government. Well, he said, I think it's about time God came to my rescue. I think it's about time we heard from God in this matter. We're suppressed. And he climbed back in his Thunderbird and drove away. Did you ever stop to think with all the Antichrist conspiracy we've put up with, we haven't missed any meals and we haven't had to walk? Don't tell me God's abandoned us. He's just trying to shake us good to get the rest of our blessings. Oh, we're persecuted. You know they're trying. Every once in a while I hear some patriot moaning about how he's been persecuted. Moaning about his enemies, and I'm proud of my enemies. Persecuted? My friends, if this is persecution, I'm willing to fight this way till Jesus comes and never complain. The people that stand for truth, that love America, that love Christ, love God, and want to see a Christian government are the best friends, the best associates, and the best people you ever knew. I wouldn't trade the people in this auditorium tonight for all of this brainwashed gang that are partying tonight under Jew control in all Hollywood. Now, we're not narrow. We are the children of joy. We are the children of Jaffer, but we like our own kind. You know, one of these days, you're going to pull the blinders off of a great mass of white Americans. They're going to see the light, and they're going to be a great seething standard of righteous anger. I'm going to tell you there won't be jets enough, there are ships leaving enough to take care of all the people that are going to want a passport out of the United States. I don't think we should bother with the passport. Just let them go. Just write them a check for everything they've got. Pay them off with their own funny colored paper. And then go on a God standard of jet sets and weights and measures. Let them play with it where they're going. Someone said, oh, this is wishful thinking. Don't you believe it? This is the prophetic authority of God's word. It's going to be that way in this great nation of God's kingdom. It's going to be that way in every Christian nation before it's over. Someone said it's not popular. Let me tell you something. These tapes are going to the ends of the world. All you have to do is come up and see the staff of workers, the wheels of tape recording equipment, professionally and finely made, to see the mail coming in from all over the world, to watch them go, to know that 2.5 million people are going to listen to this message before we've gone through very many days, to know it'll be reproduced and multiplied by the thousands in Europe to go into 5 languages, to know that this is spreading. It's a miracle that God has produced and your faith is supported. Now, let me show you something here. We get a chance to find out what they think about it in Australia, what they think about it in Germany, what they think about it in Norway, Sweden. This is thus saith the Lord. They said it sets us free. It's great hope. It's the best thing we ever heard. We can put this thing together. God puts it together. I'm not telling you some theory that I'd like to put in effect. I'm telling you what God says I'm going to do. It's not a theory. It's tomorrow's history. I point out to you that the design is to speedily move with all their design and conspiracy to destroy you. And more than that, to this power of the beast, there was given unto him a great sword. And he stole your secrets and he produced his nuclear weapons too. Now let's turn in this declaration and see what God has to say about this hour. Over here in the book of Isaiah it says, that the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up like a man of war. He shall raise his cry. The mighty roar shall be against all the enemies of his kingdom. I point out to you then that Isaiah makes the statement, now for the burden that's going to fall on Babylon. Now Isaiah makes his declaration. I have commanded my sanctified ones, says the Most High. They're the set apart ones. He said, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. That's you. Do you know anybody else but Christians that rejoice in the highness of God? God says, I predestinated them, I called them, I'm bringing forth my mighty ones. And there's a noise of a multitude in the mountains, the great nations. And like a great people, a tumultuous noise of kingdoms of nations gathered together. And the Lord of hosts mustered the hosts for the battle. Now, my friends, God's hosts come from a far country, from the ends of heaven. And the weapons of his indignation are now to destroy the whole world order. Now, that has nothing to do with Christian nations. It's this whole world order. And if the world order tries to rise up inside of your country, even by this sneak way that it's trying to do it here, it's doomed. But there's a noise and a tumult, and I hear this great noise of the multitude, the noise of the kingdoms of the nations, and they're coming together for a what? For a battle. God says, I've called my sanctified ones, mighty ones, I raised them up in the earth. I've already pledged that I'm going to unify my people, and now I'm going to bring the mighty hosts of heaven in. And it says, out of the four corners of heavens come my ministering spirits, the great host, the mighty space fleets, the mighty conquering power of the power of Michael comes in to join you. Then we start gathering the tares out first, and that's going to be a great day. There's going to be a morning, my friends, here in these United States, right in the midst of all this conspiracy, when you come down here in Hollywood, it's going to look like it's vacated. There's coming a day when in his kingdom, in his field, he's going to pluck up every tare. I like those words. Jesus said, every plant my Father did not plant is going to be plucked up by its roots. Now don't weep and moan like you weeped and moaned for the Buddhist priests. Just thank God they're gone. Someone said the other day that the government's trying to turn loose federal investigation of every true patriot and charge him with disloyalty. Disloyalty to what? We love America, we love this flag, we despise communism, and we're never going to make peace with it if the knuckleheads in Washington do. Someone said we can't survive long, we only have to survive long enough to live forever. I mean, it's not very long before reinforcements are coming in. Someone said that if God's going to take it over, we don't have anything to do. You're going to have to do a lot to hang on. Above all things, to have power, intelligence, and understanding enough to stand in these evil days. And I said, stand. We told you this afternoon, don't let the enemy interpret peace. Because the peace God gives you is not as the world gives peace. It's peace of knowing you're on the right side, taking a stand for truth. Not peace, my friends, with the enemy against whom you are to wage war. Someone said, is there no formula for peace of the earth? Yes. Let it acknowledge the Christ. Let it open its doors to Christianity. Let it fold up its suppression of Christians. And let it withdraw from all the areas it holds in suppression. Turn to the book of Esdras and see what God says about that. Why we turn their cities to powder and dust. When we clean up the scourge by God's law, we finish it. Someone said, oh, that's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing for the enemies of God that hold all the world in superstitious, satanic tyranny. For the day of the Lord is not anticipated. That one of these days, a great white robe company are going to walk the streets of America, and the enemy is going to say, we failed. Someone said, you're talking about the Klan? Yes, the biggest one that God ever organized. Someone said, there's a tremendous activity on foot. Enemy reports that an insurgency force is being created. You know what God's doing? He's just waking up Christians everywhere. And when they lift up the standard of Christ and they call it insurgency, they only were making one mistake. The boys in that Air Force are sons and daughters of their father. In this nation that has enjoyed peace within its borders, has never had a basic assault of an enemy from the outside except the infiltration within, that has accepted its constitutional rights and privileges and its religious freedoms, it now sees by order and decree a threat to all these areas of activity. There's a tumult among the mountains. You heard tumult this week. Tumult rises all around. And there isn't any peace even out of the programs of acquiescence to the enemy. The enemy has been stepping up hostility while continuing to talk. Disarm it, surrender of weapons, and peace when there isn't any peace. Strange as it may seem to you tonight, this program of the beast takes over the world order, but is not dedicated to take over God's kingdom. Someone said the nations of this world become under the control and power of the Antichrist, but the nations of the kingdom don't. One-third of the peoples and nations of the kingdom feel the heel of this beast. America's great destiny is going to be by a divine deliverance, setting you free, raising up leadership. Someone said it can't be done. We're in the hands of the enemy. Why, the death angel can move out of Michael's fleets and clean America in 24-hour period. You can wake up in one morning and find that the whole deck was cleared for the action of God's leadership. And I just want you to know tonight that if I was taking my advice from the Schlesingers and the Morgenthaus and the Baruchs, and I was taking my advice from those that are the advisors of the left-wing forces, and if I was being influenced by the decisions of the Council of Foreign Relations, and if I was receiving a Gromyko and the representatives of the Kremlin, and was whining and dining Khrushchev and Tito, I would be worried about whether I would wake tomorrow. They better start thinking. Someone said it's dangerous if any religious institution threatens anybody in high power. We're not threatening anybody. We tell you God's already decided that he's going to remove the hindering influence and charge America with leadership that will set it free. That's what I like about even these life appointments. It's only for as long as they live. And I remember the words of God that the plagues that descended upon Egypt can come again. And the death angel that walked through the house of Egypt can walk through the areas where they would hold my people in bondage. You're in the hour when the image of the beast speaks. When the television screen carries you the events of the world from the four corners of the earth. New satellites move through the sky that'll carry a television message to every corner of the world. The image of the beast can speak inside your house. But the children of the kingdom know the image of the beast and don't look in wonder. They lift up their eyes from whence cometh their strength, and then they fight like they had to do it all by themselves, and they have a peace of mind because they know God's going to help them do it. And this pleases the Father. I want you to know that when the tumult which is gathering among the nations and on the inside moves, God says, I call my sanctified one. That means set apart. That's not some holy Joe on a hassock. Somebody tried to tell me what one of the sanctified one was. He just had nothing to do with anybody. He never laughed, never smiled, sat around here, and just had his eyes folded with a halo standing out, see? I never saw the halo on any of these so-called holiness sanctified people that can't get their hands in the program and can't set their feet to do the work of God. All these cloud nine revelations and visions are not worth the snap of your finger if they can't translate into action. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You know who gives preachers more trouble than anything else? People that just got a special revelation from a flying saucer or from somebody that's supposed to have some special message on cloud nine that says we're not to resist, we're just to make peace. The other day, one of those silly rays came down out of some Satan lair to tell a whole conference of people that gods and the masters want them to get together right now with the Russians before they blew the earth up. Now, I can tell you that's a lie. He's frowning right now on Washington for as far as they've walked with the enemy. Two can't walk together unless they're agreed. If you're agreed with the devil, then you're not in agreement with God.
I want to point out something else. We have some very silly people. Some of them are even kingdom preachers. They come out to say, well, the Canaanites, of course, were Negroes. Now they tell us that Ham was cursed and became a Negro and fathered the Negro race. And they say that Japheth, he went off and became yellow and fathered the Chinese. And Shem stayed white. Well, now I want to tell you this. The first place, when Noah had three children, he had them Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Three men. They were white men. Ham, Shem, and Japheth were all white. The curse that God placed upon Ham for having violated a moral law, and we well understand this moral law because he had laid with his mother, and the scripture calls this discovering his father's nakedness, and this is what it was. It wasn't the uncovering of him or anything else. This is what transpired. The Hebrew proves it. And therefore, Ham was given a judgment by God which would last for 10 generations, and his seed would serve Shem or Japheth, but he would never rise to great power over them specifically, though Nimrod did rise to great power and ruled, and Terah, the father of Abraham, was the prime minister of Nimrod. They were white people, even though there was a transgression against the house of Ham. Now, I want to point this out. Ham, Shem, and Japheth were white men. Ham was a white man. Shem was a white man. And Japheth was a white man. Japheth's seed was absorbed in Asia where he wandered. And there's very little of it left except a little trace of it that's still in India today. But there's little trace of the white seed of Japheth. He was absorbed. But he was white. And when a man and his wife had three children, if there was any danger of one of them being a Negro and the other with a Chinaman, a man wouldn't dare raise a family. I want you to know that kind begets like kind. Seed having life in itself is what the scripture says. And this is scientific law. Seed begetting like kind. Seed having life in itself. And so therefore, I don't care who tries to tell you that this Ethiopian woman who was a descendant of Cush was a Negro and he married a Negress. This is all hodgepodge and fallacy. And these left-wing liberal clergy that were teaching evolution a few years ago can't ram Noah back down on us now and cite that this is true. In fact, also the book of Jasher tells you that when the flood covered the earth, it covered one-third of the inhabited world. That's what it covered, according to the book of Jasher. And of course, when it talks in the book of the scriptures about the flood, it uses the word Arax, all that country. And so these are some of the situations, but it didn't cover all the world. It never covered all of Egypt. It never covered South America. The flood, my friends, was a local affair of great judgment that God brought down on the offspring of Lucifer and his household. Now, as we turn today in the scripture to the words of Paul, the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans says, I reckon not the suffering of this present time to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Who? Who are us? Well, we are the children of the Most High God. In fact, it says, we are led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit beareth witness with us that we are the sons of God, the children of God. We are the progeny of God. And the Scripture clearly proves this word. We are tikkun. We are one born a child. That's what the Greek says. Now, that comes out of the 16th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And so the Apostle Paul says, therefore, the glory to be revealed in us, the children of God, is not to be compared with the things I suffer. For the earnest expectation of every creature in creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. What is the manifestation of the sons of God? What are they here for? What is the capacity of Lucifer? And what is the capacity of the sons of God? You turn over to 1 John, and you will discover that in 1 John, in the 3rd chapter, it tells us this. It says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested. He was made manifest that he might destroy all the works of the devil. For this was the Son of God made manifest that he might destroy all the works of the devil. Wherefore, therefore, we are also told, wherefore one born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and God imputes his righteousness unto you, and spiritually they do not transgress. They may sometimes lead to temptation in the flesh. They may in their carnal nature to some degree transgress, but their spiritual seed is begotten of the Most High God and is without transgression. And there's nobody that commits transgression in the planes of the Spirit from whence they were originally begotten. But however, one of the most important things is that the children of this world are made manifest. We are told that the children of the devil are manifest because they do the works of unrighteousness. The children of God give assent to that which is righteous, and the children of God produce the patterns of righteousness. I don't think you have to look out over the world today to see the difference between Western Christian civilization and the pagan peoples of the earth, their patterns of idolatry and their patterns of inhumanity. And out of all of the world today, you only have the white race and Christian civilization that stands head and shoulders above all the rest of the world. They starve to death. They treat one another like carrion. The peoples of India, the peoples of Asia, move out of a pattern of brutality and evil that comes out of the patterns of their religion. And then in all of it, they lack the intelligence to produce enough food and to understand the processes of life and living. And there are idols which they are constantly served through the land by the thousands because they are the children of the evil one. I want to point out, in this is the works of the children of the devil made manifest. You know what the works of the devil are? What is the works of the devil? It says that the embodiment of God came to overthrow the works of the devil. He was made manifest by this. The most important thing that the devil has done concerning the household of God's kingdom and the children of the kingdom was to bring upon them death. This was the thing he worked for. This was the thing he tried to do. He knew that they were a spiritually begotten household, physically embodied, and he knew that their light and their radiance was on them. He knew that they somehow would try to conquer his kingdom, and he couldn't stand against the light. This is why he seduced Eve. You know, in the beginning, when God had begotten Adam in his own image and brought him forth in his own likeness, he took him abroad, and we're told over here in the book of Genesis, that he took him out and he showed him all the animals of the land he was living in and around the land of Canaan. And Adam gave a name to the fowls of the air and to the cattle and even to the beasts of the field. And this word is Enosh. Did you know that? That means the peoples without spirit or not of the spirit of the living God. So he looked on the Negro race and he looked on the Chinamen and he looked on the Asiatic peoples that were coming and going. And it says here in the scripture that as Adam looked on all of these people, on these beasts of the field, and behold, there was no helpmate for him that he could take for a wife. And so God says, so this was the situation. Behold, there was no helpmate for him, and therefore Adam had given names to all of them, but there was not found a helpmate for him. So God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he separated, the Hebrew says, he separated out of Adam a female portion and made Eve that they might both have become one flesh in his offspring. Now, it says they took a rib out, but I think they did that just to make it a much more easy thing to read in the King James Version when they're talking to mixed congregations. But the pattern was that Adam and Eve were the creative and begotten work of the Most High God. Now, the fact remains that Lucifer saw that they had life, and they saw that they had power, and that they were going to accomplish great things. People came to Lucifer that served him. His own children came and said, we can't stand their light. And so Lucifer said, but I'm going to soon take it away. Now, the seduction of Eve was that God had warned Adam about the day that he was not to touch the racial tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's written in allegory in the book of Genesis. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil had to have intelligence and intellect. It was a racial tree. And God warned Adam that he could eat of all the trees of the field that were for fruit, but of this tree of knowledge of good and evil he could not partake. And Adam knew this. It tells us that he didn't tell it to Eve directly. Eve was deceived by Lucifer, but Adam was not. Now, the scripture was that in the day you eat of this day ye die, because the spirit will not cohabit with another race, and God declares, I'll not give my glory to another race either. And he tells you that in the book of Isaiah. Now, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. You remember how Lucifer came before Eve? Says, why did God say that you're going to die if you come over and join with us and become a part of our race and intermingle with us? Why, he says, God knows you've become wise, wiser than he is. He doesn't want to have all this knowledge. You shall not die. You shall not die. The most important thing with Lucifer was to put death on the white race, to put death on the Adamic household, and so the seduction of Eve. And then Eve comes to Adam and Lilith the serpent woman, and we find that Adam violates the law as his wife Eve did, and some of the offspring from Lilith the serpent woman, who is also called Shiva, the mother of the Ganges, are still to be found in India. Though there was some good seed that later arrived over there from Keturah, too, that went over there, and they were called Brahmas, or sons of Abraham, and that was when, before Hinduism ever developed as the filthy religion it is today. Now, one of the reasons why there was a high caste system over there, that the Brahmas wouldn't have anything to do with the others, and they had a high caste system because they wore the mark of Yahweh, and they have nothing to do whatsoever with these other pagan races. Not of it also under the patterns of heathenism and Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, and Kali, and the idol gods, they dissipated that in India. But the pattern remained. That death came on Adam and Eve that day. They were a dying people because the spirit which would have given them immortality and covered them with immortality left them at that time. Now, this is the works of the devil, to bring death on the household of the Most High God. And death has come on that household and remained with that household right on down through to your time. Though we have had the individual acts of prophets of God that have raised the dead, we've had the raising of the dead by the man Christ Jesus, who was the embodiment of God, and the most important manifestation of overthrowing the works of the devil. It was easy to overthrow the works of the devil for the hand of God, but the most powerful force that has yet been exerted to overthrow the works of the devil was found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
So I point out to you tonight that in this hour of your greatest challenge, in this hour when they would disarm you, in this hour where you're surrounded, where there's tumult and upheaval, God says, my sons empowered have more strength than all the hosts of the enemy put together. Think I'm going to forsake my sons? Think I'm going to permit the overthrow of my kingdom? Just turn around and read this story, and then get the vision and work for it.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.